Now, waste is a big problem all over the world, and in the UK alone, we throw away over 7 million tonnes of food every year, the majority of which goes to landfill. But thanks to recent advances in microbial biotechnology, this waste could become a valuable source of energy in the future. And using bacteria, scientists are now able to convert this waste into useful biohydrogen. We're joined by Dr. Mark Redwood from the University of Birmingham. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, Kat. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, anyone who's had a rather whiffy bin will know that bacteria can generate gases. But how are you actually making bacteria generate hydrogen from food waste?
Okay, so the first thing to say about biohydrogen from waste is that it's difficult to answer a question straight because it's still an area of research and everybody has different ideas about the right way to do it. And there are lots of different bacteria that will do it. And the capacity to make hydrogen is virtually ubiquitous among among the microbial world. Although there are certain there are real special organisms that we've singled out which are really good for the process. Generally, you can say it'll either work in the dark or it'll work in sunlight. So if you just take a pile of potato peels or something and you seal it in a container so that the air can't get in, the bacteria will begin to consume the sugars and use up the oxygen. It'll go anaerobic. There's enzymes in there called hydrogenases will switch on, and then it will begin to fill that chamber with hydrogen. And in the process of doing that, it'll also make some CO2 and also make some organic acids, and those are what you're smelling. It's not the hydrogen that you can smell, because hydrogen itself is odourless, but those dark organisms, as they break down the carbon sources, they'll produce a lot of things like acetic acid, vinegar, or butyric acid, which is very, very smelly, but it's actually completely harmless. It's even added to some foods for extra flavour. The other thing that you can do is you can take those organic acids and you can feed them to a second kind of bacteria. These ones that live on sunlight, these are my favourites, these are the purple bacteria. And what they do, you use those organic acids and they react them using an enzyme called nitrogenase. And if you set up the reactor just right and give it sunlight, then it will make a lot more hydrogen.
So you've got these bacteria in a canister and then you're taking the things from them. Is there a risk? How do you actually trap the hydrogen? Because presumably there may be other contaminating gases in there. Is this really a good source of clean fuel, of clean hydrogen?
Well, funnily enough, it's actually one of the cleanest ways to get hydrogen. Everybody knows now that hydrogen is the fuel of the future. It's got all sorts of fantastic advantages. And just for the research market, people are looking at having to scale up the hydrogen production industry because people are developing fuel cells left, right and centre, so they need lots of hydrogen for it. Everyone agrees that hydrogen is going to come from natural gas to begin with through the traditional process of steam methane reforming. The problem with that chemical process is that it generates a lot of carbon monoxide, and which is a contaminant in the gas, and it's especially important as a contaminant if you're going to use the hydrogen in fuel cells, especially the kind that will be used in experimental cars, fuel cell cars. Whereas as we eventually move towards biohydrogen, that problem will disappear because the gas is inherently pure. It doesn't contain carbon monoxide to begin with. The only contaminant really is CO2, and it comes out at really 90% hydrogen or more in the first place. And CO2 is very easy to separate from hydrogen.
And so what kind of waste are we talking about here? I mean, just generally, I'm an avid composter, so every week I send my little bin of compost that gets collected by the council, mostly mouldy bread, because my housemates aren't very good at shopping properly. But what kind of food waste could you use? Could it literally be anything?
It should really be anything. Obviously, the more organic it is, the better. It shouldn't contain too much things like, the packaging, the plastics, tins. Those won't do any good because they won't break down. But you see, the thing to understand about composting is what it really boils down to is allowing the natural degradation to occur, but with lots and lots of aeration, getting oxygen in there, and that encourages the aerobic respiration to happen, to get that all that carbon to turn into CO2 as quickly as possible. And the only useful thing that you get from composting is heat. As everyone will know, compost heap gets warm. You can sometimes find a cat sitting on them. But if you take the same waste and seal it in a pot so that the air doesn't get in there, then it'll either go to make methane, or if you do it under certain controlled conditions, it'll make hydrogen and organic acids. And we think that if you're just examining the biochemistry and the stoichiometry of these reactions, if you can take that dark hydrogen reaction and use the organic acids from that to feed to purple bacteria, then we should get about more than two times as much energy value as what you would get if you let it react through normal digestion to methane. So making hydrogen will give you more energy than making methane.
So this all sounds brilliant. We can stick our bacteria and our rubbish in a pot and we'll get hydrogen out of it. How close are we to actually scaling this up? What sort of challenges have you still got to overcome before this is suitable on an industrial scale?
Well, I think one of the main challenges is that the market isn't there for biohydrogen, really. People at the moment are much more used to liquid fuels, which is good for us in a way, because these the algal oil people are blazing the trails for us, developing solar reactors, which we will then be able to use to make biohydrogen. That's one of the main issues, is getting those reactors developed up to a level where they can be used economically and efficiently, and where they can be produced in very large quantities, very cheaply.
Where are you at? You know, what do you think's the most exciting things that you've come up with lately in your research?
Oh, well, that just happens. We've just had something hot out of the lab a couple of weeks ago, which is a real development. We've kind of added 75% to the photosynthetic productivity. We've had this project running with the Manchester Photon Science Institute about using one sunbeam to drive not one but two different photobioreactors containing two different kinds of organism. And the way that works is that, as we know, sunlight is composed of a whole rainbow, a whole spectrum of different wavelengths, and the purple bacteria that make hydrogen happen to like a particular part of that spectrum, whereas green organisms like the algae that make oil, or the spirulina that make nice health foods that you can buy in health food shops and eat as a food supplement, those green organisms and the purple organisms both prefer different parts of the spectrum. And so all we needed to do was find a way to separate the sunbeam into those two beams and direct each at a separate reactor, and we'd be able to double the productivity that you get from a single sunbeam. So we set up this project with the University of Manchester, and they told us about dichroic mirrors, which turn out to be absolutely perfect for the job. And so we found that we can add 75% to the photosynthetic yield.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. So that's Mark Redwood from the University of Birmingham, and he's going to be with us for the rest of the show. So if you've got any questions for him and about biohydrogen and maybe even your compost heap, do get in touch.
Tweet at Naked Scientists or send us an email, chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Keeping you abreast of the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.